This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Just hearing the word bureaucracy can give anyone a shiver. It's often followed by words like
regulations,
delay,
red tape,
paralysis.
So what is bureaucracy's purpose, really? And what should anyone expect from the governmental embrace that surrounds each and every one of us? Reporter Todd Oppenheimer started poking at one layer of local bureaucracy, San Francisco city government, and how it regulates new food businesses. And he gained a whole new insight into a complex and fascinating system. Here's his story.
It all started a couple of years ago when a happy-go-lucky guy I swim with named Joe Omran showed up at Aquatic Park one day in a really foul mood. 30 years ago, Joe bought a small grocery and deli on the western edge of Knob Hill called Le Beau Market. Now he wanted to open a cafe nearby, just a little one.
It's a small space. It's only 950 square feet.
And he told me he was stunned at the process the city was putting him through, a seemingly endless list of fees, fussy building requirements, delays, and mixed messages from various departments.
Oh, I had to pay rent. I had to pay property tax. I had to pay insurance, property insurance. I had to pay workers' comp for staffing that wasn't there. We had to apply for all these things and start paying premiums on them, despite the fact that we weren't even open for business yet.
To Joe, the craziest of these rules came from the city's health department, regarding how many sinks were needed in his little cafe.
Tables, we have a total of seven tables.
Seven tables and seven sinks.
Yeah, there's one sink per table.
Actually, eight. And by the time his plumber had finished putting in those eight sinks, his bill was $35,000 just for plumbing.
So my plumbing contractor was smiling when we looked at what was necessary to open this thing with just 950 square feet. It was a plumber's dream.
Judging from Joe's account, the plumbing bill was just the capper on an excruciating five-month process. So how did this whole fiasco happen? Joe first got the idea to open a cafe back in the spring of 2012. During his daily walks to the bay, he kept passing an old, rundown market at the corner of Union and Leavenworth Streets. This was a prime hilltop spot. It looked down on North Beach to the east and to the north on Fisherman's Wharf and Aquatic Park.
As I looked at the neighborhood, I saw what was not really around was a cafe, and it's a great little corner.
He then talked to a clerk at the planning department to make sure he could proceed.
He came back and said, yeah, you know what? There should be no problem to convert it into a cafe. So armed with that information, I proceeded to contact my architect. He came and took the necessary measurements to start working on a permit for remodeling the location. And that's when it all began.
The paperwork.
And as soon as they saw the address and they punched it up, then all these bells and whistles went off. The flags went up. They indicated that the location was in the North Beach Enterprise Zone.
Apparently, it wasn't the whole property, just part.
And which exact part of the property is in that area?
The toilet.
Joe now had to appeal to the city for special permission, what's called a conditional use permit, which he did in November of 2012, 2 months after he had already signed a lease and started paying rent. So when could he expect an answer from the city?
It normally takes 4 to 6 months for the permit, from beginning permit to the actual determination to occur.
At this point, Joe hadn't even gotten into all the plumbing costs that awaited him. But just going on the city's verbal approval, he had already spent close to $6,000 to hire an architect, a plumber, an electrician, and on various permit fees. Frustrated by the city's mixed messages, Joe now sought some official relief. First, he met with an aide to the mayor who set him up with Dan Sider, a high-level troubleshooter at the city's planning department.
We had a meeting. I told Dan Sider what had happened, that I went to the counter, got this bad information, proceeded on it, only to find out that the rules of the game had changed and I was already into the process. And, you know, Dan was very sympathetic, although he indicated to me for all the reasons that city bureaucracy is what it is and has become, that there wasn't a whole lot he could do.
Since he was already so far along on this venture, Joe decided to see the process through. So he kept visiting different city departments.
Easily a dozen and a half trips down.
By the time all was said and done, his costs, just in city fees, were staggering.
Oh, wow. Well, let's see. I did pull up some numbers just going over. Of course, you know, everybody's got an LLC corporate filing fee.
The business name fee.
The business tax.
The city health department fee.
The city business tax health department fee.
The planning department fee.
San Francisco planning health department fee.
Wow. So all put together, what is that, about?
$18,692.
All this for one tiny cafe. Now, it seemed to me that a mess like this had to have some rational explanation, so I went looking for one. Obviously, one of my first stops would be the city's health department, the office that made Joe put in all those sinks. So I'm here to meet this guy.
Mohamed Malhi, San Francisco Environmental Health Specialist with the San Francisco Department of Public Health.
San Francisco employs roughly two dozen health inspectors. Almost none of them have ever worked in restaurants, but Mohamed has. This inspires me to ask him to estimate. For a cafe of only 950 square feet, how many sinks the department required?
Three different types. Probably a fourth would be the mop sink as well. So there's a hand sink, prep sink, three-compartment sink, and mop sink.
Well, I think you got the categories right, but you got the number wrong. Eight.
We start going through the various services Joe is trying to offer. In addition to coffee, the cafe would serve soups and salads, hot dishes, cold sandwiches, even ice cream. All these different foods raise Mohamed's eyebrows.
You know, hand sinks need to be strategically placed where any food preparation is occurring.
Part of the problem, Mohamed tells me, is that Joe has different kinds of food services spread all throughout his kitchen.
We'll walk in and you'll see chicken thawing in one compartment and vegetables being washed in another and being prepped right next to dirty dishes, or, you know, so there's definitely that risk of contamination. So for us, what we try to really do is delineate the different processes to prevent any type of cross-contamination issues.
Before I leave Mohamed's office, I ask him what he would do if he could change the city's regulatory process.
I feel like, you know, what I have learned in San Francisco is there is a lot of ordinances that people have to go through.
I feel like I'm learning that too, but I want to see exactly how many. So I drop by the building and planning departments to see what it takes to open a cafe.
Okay, here I have a long pink form, and it lists no fewer than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different city departments that need to approve my application.
So I may not be the best person to quote that.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I want to talk to whoever what would be my first steps.
This, I realize, is where I can find Dan Sider, the advisor Joe sought out to plead his case. Once I get in, I tell Dan about all the mixed messages Joe got, in particular regarding exactly which neighborhood his cafe would actually sit in.
The planning code is clear, and it draws lines. At a certain point, the line has to be drawn somewhere.
In this case, right across Joe's bathroom.
I did speak with Mr. Omran about this a while ago, and I think we were both frustrated that the line happened to fall here. But the law is the law.
But Dan told me that the department's approval process normally takes 3 months, or if there's a backlog, up to 4 months. So why would it take the city 5 months just to fix a misunderstanding?
I'm sure Mr. Omran would have loved to have had our staff wave a wand and let him get through the process without that scrutiny. And regardless of whether or not we wanted to do that, we simply didn't have the discretion to do that.
So there was no way to move him along faster than that?
No.
As it turns out, over the last decade, the most common amount of time for projects like Joe's to get special approvals those conditional use permits and planning speak, has been roughly 10 months. A lot of these delays are caused by the applicants themselves. They drag their feet while they wait for financing, for partners to commit, or whatever. But Dan says there's often one main obstacle: conflicts with the rules. And in this case, apparently, size doesn't matter.
We may have a rear deck addition in the Outer Sunset that, because of appeals and discretionary reviews and design challenges, the approval process may take 18 months, it may take 2 years, it may take more than that. At the same time, we may have a downtown high-rise that complies with the planning code, that is seen by its neighbors as being relatively innocuous, that can fly through the process in 6 months.
By that measure, Dan says, Joe's ordeal wasn't terribly unusual.
My sense is that other applicants would say, geez, 5 months, that's not bad.
But is it good? Well, maybe, for a city with the number of regulations that San Francisco has.
The reality of the situation is that the city is going through a tremendous boom, and we have a planning code that's 2,000 pages long and growing.
I may have seen some of that. I stopped in at the planning desk. I saw a massive, massive set of volumes. Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's right. That's what it is. It is a, choose your adjectives wisely, right? It is a robust document.
Have you read the whole thing?
Cover to cover.
Given Dan's wide knowledge base, I ask him to guess how many sinks the city told Joe to put in his cafe.
Let's call it one kitchen sink and one three-basin sink.
Eight.
Eight sinks.
Yeah, it has its own floor sink. A separate hand wash sink right next to the prep sink.
And then we go on to the next sinks. The bathroom is right here.
Floor sink underneath the ice machine in order to accommodate the runoff from the machine. So, yeah.
San Francisco plumbers must have a good life.
Well, my plumber liked it.
After learning all about Joe's experience, I wanted to see what would happen if I tried to open a small cafe of my own. I discovered that the city has actually made it pretty easy to get the process started. Last year, it created a website called SF License 123. The site automatically estimates the various permits and fees that any new project requires. Within seconds, I was told that I would need 15 different permits and licenses. And the cost, just for applying for these permits, was estimated to be between $18,500 and $20,000. Joe Omren did all that and a lot more. And on May 13, 2013, after spending roughly $250,000 on city fees and renovations, Joe's new venture was finally ready to open as La Paloma Cafe. In the months following, the cafe did fairly well, and Joe's staff, all of whom are family, seemed to adjust, even to the sinks, according to his wife, Leslie.
I love them.
Love them?
Yeah, because it's convenient.
Everywhere you turn, you got a sink.
Yeah, and nothing but being clean.
But that is not the end of this San Francisco story. The neighborhood's interest in Joe's cafe soon flagged, and just over a year after La Paloma opened, Joe decided to shut it down. He's now trying to figure out new uses for the space while he looks for someone to take it over, all while paying rent each month on an empty business. The enormous amount of trouble and expense that Joe went to for this little cafe made me realize why San Francisco is still occasionally called the City of Love. All those regulations might be time-consuming, costly, and annoying, but each one is also an act of compassion, a stake in the ground for one interest group or another. In a world that is only getting faster and more expensive for the average citizen, each of those rules represent a tiny but crucial piece of the action for somebody. Joe understands all of this, and at this point, he knows he made his own mistakes with this venture.
I probably did not do what I should have done. Now that I know what I know, of course, the next time, it's the first thing I do is let's go through this step by step so I know that there's no surprises on the back end.
In the end, given all the lessons that Joe has now learned, I ask him if he would consider opening another store or cafe in the city if he had the opportunity. He asked me if I was nuts. In San Francisco, I'm Todd Oppenheimer for Cross Currents.
If you've ever tried to open a small business in San Francisco, we'd like to hear about your experience. Leave us a message on our tip line, 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106, and we may get your story on the air.